So as the Big Ten is rolling out their all-conference teams, Cam Jurgens has been named third-team All-Big Ten by the coaches. Austin Allen, first team. That was announced about 20 minutes ago as we welcome in Scott Shanley. How do you think Austin Allen's career at Nebraska will transfer over to the NFL?
Yeah, I think he has a bright future, especially when you look at his body type. And, I've talked often on the show about how the game is a game of mismatches, and you can get his body type on free safeties and safeties, and I believe he's just as fast, if not faster, than a lot of linebackers that'll cover him, especially in base package defense. I think he, it's all about fit, and if he can get into one of those teams that is more of a West Coast offense who likes to flip the tight ends outside on some smaller DBs and move them around, I think he'd have a bright career in the NFL.
We talk, and we talk numerous times about the emergence of the tight end position in the NFL with the kind of athlete that is playing tight end now and the kind of mismatches that they create. It's kind of been a Nebraska thing, hasn't it, Scott, where Nebraska has had a run of really, really good tight ends. Now, Matt Herrien was kind of that freak guy, but he battled injuries. We've seen Kyler Reed, Seathan Carter, Jack Stoll, the last two are in the NFL. Austin Allen is coming. What do you think it is about how Nebraska takes that position, which it seems like they can recruit and make it a bigger option where this becomes a regular, hey, another Nebraska tight end, first or second team All-Big Ten, another Nebraska tight end in the NFL. How does that work?
Well, I think first and foremost, Nebraska, no matter who the coach has been there, they understand that the tight end position is extremely important. I mean, you even go back to Mike Riley, who ran an NFL-style offense. They understand how important the tight end is in that offense. And then I've been pleasantly surprised to see just how involved the tight ends have been in Scott's offense, because at UCF, it didn't feel like he used the tight end that much. But, you know, in this day and age of football, everybody thinks that it's four wide receivers, it's spread, it's fast-paced, but you can do a lot with the tight end. Like I said, obviously mismatches, but just by lining them up in line, flipping them sides, you create an extra gap in the running game. Tight ends are extremely important to the college-style running game, to the RPO-type running game, to create gaps in the offense. So I think more than anything, Nebraska's had success recruiting that position because they put a lot of emphasis on recruiting at that position.
What do you, and I appreciate your insight on Austin Allen at the next level, what do you think JoJo Doman will have to do to make himself even more enticing to the NFL? He got the coveted Senior Bowl invite, but what do you see as his prospects as he works his way through rehab and then through the process of working out and then getting in front of NFL teams?
Well, a lot of times scouts and teams are going to put linebackers into one of two categories. They're going to call you a cover linebacker, or they're going to call you a rush linebacker. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much that you can't do the other of what they label you, but it's really about fit. If they view you as a coverage guy, you'll start your career up in nickel, covering tight end back, playing in a 4-3 Tampa 2 type system where they covet smaller linebackers. If you're a rush guy, you'll get drafted to 3-4 type teams that bring guys off the edge, drop them every once in a while. But I think JoJo, if you ask me as a scout, I would put him as a cover guy. I think he's got really good cover skills. There are tons of teams that need linebackers who can cover, because you know, these hybrid safeties are kind of the new hybrid rusher, where the hybrid safeties are taking the jobs of linebackers in the NFL. But if you can still keep that size on the field as a linebacker and still cover backs and tight ends, you're very valuable in the NFL. So I think he has that value, and some team will want his cover skills in their scheme.
You remember when we used to have the discussion about guys that were tweeners and you didn't know what to do with them? And now they become hybrid players and they're making a lot of money in the NFL. When did we see that transition that we stopped using the word tweener and said, all right, this is the guy. He might be too big to be a safety. He might not be big enough to be a linebacker, but let's find a spot for him and let's keep him on the field.
I think the evolution of the offenses, we can thank offenses for giving those guys it, because it used to be a bad thing to be called a tweener. It used to mean that you weren't big enough to play every down. You were a specialist. Bring him on the field to rush on third down. And now a hybrid guy or a tweener, it's no longer a bad thing. And I think that the offenses can be thanked for that. We need speed on the field, but we also, on defense, we need speed on the field to match the speed on offense, but we also need physical players, because what offenses will do is they will bring their four wides out, and then as soon as you go small or fast on defense, then they run the ball down your throat. Well, that's where the hybrid and the tweener type bodies come in. Guys who are able to run, like maybe the position behind them, but they're also physical enough to play the position that they're currently playing.
Scott Chandler joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. Now that the offseason is here, post what happened on Friday, the same thing lingers is learning how to win. We've kind of had this discussion this fall, but now it becomes forefront of you've got to overcome that before you flip the script. In your opinion, teaching guys how to win that are on the current roster, whether they wear helmets or headsets, what is it going to take? Is it a player? Is it a coach? Is it a moment? Is it an off-season something? What in your mind will get that to change?
Yeah, I think as a coach, you have to let it be known you're not going to tolerate mental errors. And it's easier to say this in the NFL. You know, if you make mental errors, they're going to just find someone else to do it for you. But at the college level, you don't always have that type of depth. Maybe it's the recruiting classes, who you have backing up people. But I think you have to set the tone as a coach that we will not beat ourselves. If you lose 9 games by single digits and you didn't beat yourself, you didn't commit false starts, you didn't commit offside, you didn't have a ton of mental errors to help lead to those losses, I think then you look at it, well, maybe we just need to get a little more talented. Maybe we're not coaching well. Mm-hmm. But when you continually beat yourself, and that's coaching too. That's not just blaming the players. That's how you learn to not to lose games is not beating yourself. And so many times this year, there were so many games that you can go back and pull out 4 or 5 plays where it was a false start, where it was a holding penalty, where it was just something that negated a big play that ended up costing you in the end. And I really think this team is closer than their record indicates. It's just you have to teach them how to win by first not teaching them how they shouldn't be losing games.
Mm. Can it be one player? Can it be somebody that walks in the door or gets an opportunity to play that has that aura that, man, that guy's not going to lose on Saturday. I'm here to follow him. Or he looks at everybody and goes, not today, fellas.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if there's anybody in recent memory that proved that, that was Joe Burrow when he went to LSU.
Uh-huh.
And you know, he gathered that respect. And what was impressive about Joe was he never played at Ohio State. And then he went to LSU and he played in the old LSU offense and was average as a junior. And then everything clicked. They put in an offensive coordinator who would show his skill set, who would show the players around him skill set. And that's where Nebraska is right now. Nebraska is at a position where if Scott's going to be the CEO of this team, he needs to go out and find an offensive coordinator and an offensive group that can display the talents the best that this Nebraska team has right now. Can you do that without knowing who the quarterback is? I think you have to know exactly who the quarterback is so you can build those things around that player.
This has become a discussion this week as, you know, waiting on an offensive coordinator hire and all the craziness that is going on in the college football world and guys are being scooped up and guys are now unemployed. Offensive coordinator, offensive line, more important hire?
Wow, that's a good one. I think our offensive line can definitely play better, but I'm going to go with offensive coordinator. And the reason I say offensive coordinator is because I think they have a much bigger impact on wins and losses on Saturdays. And that's not to say an offensive line coach isn't extremely important. And we know in Nebraska an offensive line coach can mean the world, but offensively you have to bring a guy in there, like I just said, knows how to get the ball in your playmaker's hands. Nebraska has playmakers. Nebraska has some skill. They can get better on the offensive line, but you need a guy who has a proven scheme that when he walks in and with a proven scheme that all the players already say, yes, this is going to work because it's worked before for him.
Thoughts on the craziness that is happening in college football with, I mean, we would have never thunk a guy would leave Oklahoma to go to USC or a guy would leave Notre Dame to go to LSU.
Well, what? Money talks, and those contracts that those guys got were pretty astronomical. I think they've redone the bar for everybody in college football, especially when you look at a guy like Nick Saban, as accomplished as he is, he's probably looking around like these guys have won nothing, and you know it's time to redo a deal down in Tuscaloosa, I'm sure. I think with Lincoln Riley, I wasn't really surprised he went to USC. I never felt like he was going to be a great fit in the SEC, and Lincoln Riley's a good coach. His teams were never physical enough to compete in the SEC. And for him to take that contract that go out to USC where he's going to get California to recruit to himself, play against Pac-12 schools, I think that was a great move for Lincoln Riley. And then the Kelly one really surprised me because I believe, you know, I've covered LSU. I think LSU was coveting Lincoln Riley. They missed out. Scott Woodward, the new AD at LSU, had to make a splash hire. And he felt like Brian Kelly was a splash hire. So I think, In the end, he got panned into a corner and probably paid more for a guy who was probably his plan B or plan C in the end.
Does LSU feel like a job that somebody that is good at their job. They've got to, they start the year at least with 9 wins because of some built-in advantages.
LSU is a good job, but you need to know the expectations is that you're going to be in the college football playoff, that you're going to have a chance to beat, or you're going to have a chance to win a national championship every year, and that you can beat Nick Saban. And those 3 criteria are not easy. Now, you're going to get a lot of talent. They have great talent down there to recruit from, but you're also, with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC, you're fighting a ton of really great programs for these same talented kids. That's the hard part about coaching in the SEC and LSU, as long as Nick Saban is there. It is a difficult job where the demands are going to be very high. You look at Kelly, he never won a national championship, never played well in a playoff game, got beat down by Alabama many times he went against them. So there's a lot of LSU fans that are sitting there wondering, well, why should we feel good about this hire? Because we've never seen him beat the guy in our own division that he has to get through to get to the SEC championship.
How do you think he'll react to it? That's an intense culture at LSU. There's booster involvement. I mean, Notre Dame is a mega business, but LSU is like even more because of the culture and the passion for people down there. How do you think that affects somebody that hasn't been around that day in and day out, in their entire career? He's never worked in the South.
It's going to be different. The SEC in general is different. The competition you're going to face every week is going to be different. And you're right, Notre Dame, they have their own TV network. They're a huge brand. But a lot of times Notre Dame plays these games where no one really pays a whole lot of attention. Usually when LSU is playing, they're playing Alabama, they're playing Auburn, they're playing Florida. They're playing some really good teams. And so automatically, when you fire a coach who just won a championship 2 years ago and you get hired, the expectation is that you're going to take the program right back to the national championship. So, like I said, the bar is extremely high. He was offered a wonderful contract that he couldn't turn down, and I know he knows the expectations are high. But I've also heard a lot about fit and how he doesn't quite fit culturally. Well, LSU fans and any football fan will accept you, even if you're not from the South. They'll accept if you win, so he needs to get off to a fast start.
Scott Chandler joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. Let's shift over to the NFL. What's the vibe in New Orleans? Big game tomorrow night coming off Thanksgiving against Buffalo.
This team has been just, you know, a few weeks ago they were 5-2. Now they're 5-6. Just like that, it's the 3rd 4-loss losing streak that Sean Payton's ever had since 2006. It doesn't happen very often, but this team, just everybody checks the injury report every week the past 4 weeks with the Saints. They've been without 2 running backs last 2 weeks, 2 all-pro tackles, just Michael Thomas all year. Now they've made a quarterback change. Taysom Hill is coming off a foot injury, but they need a little spark on offense because offensively they just have not had any firepower. This game against Dallas is going to be tough. Dallas has some coaches out. They're on the COVID list. They've got their receivers, Amari Cooper back and CeeDee Lamb. They are loaded offensively, but it's a good matchup for the Saints defense. It's the Saints offense that everybody is concerned about because they don't have enough playmakers right now until Kamara and Ingram come back.
It seems like everybody's got an issue. And we do this week to week. So as we get ready for week 13, the best team in the NFL for now is?
I tell you, the great thing about the NFL is it changes every week. A month ago, we all said Buffalo, right? And then we said the Rams. And now my preseason prediction for Super Bowl champion was the Green Bay Packers. And it wasn't looking good when the Saints rolled out the door and beat the brakes off the Green Bay Packers in week 1 in Jacksonville. But I still, if somebody made me say who you think the best team in the NFL are, who's going to go to the Super Bowl and who has the best chance of winning a Super Bowl, I think I would go with Green Bay Packers just because of Aaron Rodgers. Their offense is playing really good football. Their 2-back system is really working. But Green Bay's defense is as good as it's been in a long time since Aaron's been there. So I think Green Bay Packers.
Now that we're getting into the serious part of the season and the Patriots are inching closer to the number 1 seed and they go on the road and play Buffalo on Monday Night Football, how are they doing this? Is this just the Bill Belichick recipe and Patriot way? Just doesn't have number 12 at quarterback.
I would say it starts with Bill Belichick. It starts with the veterans that he has in that locker room that have shown the young guys the way. Because Mac Jones, it can't be understated what Mac Jones has done as a rookie. He's been absolutely phenomenal, and you talk about great fit, perfect fit. He's been everything plus some for what the Patriots wanted when they drafted him. So I'm going to give. If you made me divide the credit, I'm going to give 60% of the credit to Bill Belichick, 40% to Mac Jones, because you can't win in the NFL without good quarterback play. And for a young guy to play as well as he's doing and manage the games and allow that Patriots defense to play Patriot brand football, it's been phenomenal. And they're not a flashy team. Yep. You know, a lot of people can't even name the starters on their team, But they just do it. It's the Patriot way, and they find a way to win games.
Hey, Von Miller woke up, and he was 7-1. Von Miller woke up on Monday, and he was 7-4. The offense has kind of hit a little bit of a skid. A couple of pick sixes, three pick sixes for Matthew Stafford. What is the current, and this is how it's a long season in the NFL, and we know what the narrative was at the beginning of the year with Matthew Stafford. What do you think the narrative is right now about the Rams quarterback?
I think people are worried. If you're a Rams fan, you're worried that the bad Matthew Stafford from the Lions day has shown up. And Matthew Stafford, he's one of those guys who's kind of in the stat stuffer category. He's a great year's 5,000-yard passing season. And he is definitely an upgrade for a lot of teams throughout the NFL. When you talk about would you rather have your quarterback or Matthew Stafford, a lot of teams would take him. But if you look at it, he's never really won. He's never won in big moments, never won a playoff game. And people forget, in Detroit, he had Calvin Johnson at wide receiver, first ballot Hall of Famer. They had some talented teams up there. It wasn't the Detroit Lions like we see right now. They went through some ebbs and flows. But Matthew Stafford just, he hits these peaks and valleys during his season. And we've seen him play like an all-pro guy, and then we've seen him play like a undrafted free agent just trying to make his way. And right now, he needs to find a way, whether he's banged up or not, he needs to find a way to just make enough plays for his team. Don't be Superman. Let your defense win games because he's good enough to do that.
Why do you think this year in the NFL, and there's parity, and a lot of people are still alive, and there's a lot of teams that are over 500 as we reach December, but we also have these 41-10 Cincinnati over Pittsburgh. I can't recall a year where we've had more blowouts. Any rhyme or reason, in your opinion, on why this year we have so many lopsided games?
I think a couple of reasons. First and foremost, there's a lot of injuries right now. Teams are very depleted at some positions. And secondly, I think the way teams practice. Teams don't practice the way they used to, where it was more consistently throughout the week. They were going to be in pads on Wednesday. They were going to do inside run. Then Thursday, they were going to be in pads again. A lot of teams aren't even in pads. So you get that inconsistency because I think there's inconsistency in practice throughout the week. If you're not feeling good or your body's banged up, a lot of teams are giving guys more rest than they ever have. So there's just a lot of inconsistency when it comes to the way teams practice and who's available every single week.
Be an interesting one tomorrow night at the Superdome. As always, Scott, I appreciate it and look forward to your coverage tomorrow night.
All right, appreciate it.
That's Scott Chanley, former Husker, Super Bowl champion with the Saints, does pre and post on the Cox Network down in New Orleans. And they got a big one to kick off week number 13. Back to the Packers. See, Scott and I are alike. We maybe did not have the same kind of football career in pads, but we think kind of the same way. We both had the Packers winning the Super Bowl. Do we have new drama with Aaron Rodgers, or is it just Aaron Rodgers? Because he went on Pat McAfee's show like he does every week. It's the perfect setting for him because they just let him talk. And he's very, very comfortable. And it's not all COVID. He talks, and it's not all football. If you don't listen to the show on Sirius Radio or watch it on YouTube, you'll only get the clips when he's talking about football or anything to do with the Packers. But it's a wide ranging, basically it's like an hour. It's like, you know, Howard Stern brings people on his show, and Howard Stern will have Paul McCartney on for 90 minutes.
They might talk about music. They probably will to start, but spawns off onto all these different tangents, and it's great radio. Yeah, it's great radio.
And Pat McAfee has Aaron Rodgers on, and he just lets him go. Well, you know, everything that's going on in the Packer bye week, and is Rodgers going to have surgery on his toe? And you know, last week he the COVID toe, and he showed off his toe and misidentified the reporter from the Wall Street Journal, and you know, it just kind of he wandered in some waters that he shouldn't. But I mean, Aaron Rodgers doesn't care. So yesterday he kind of got into a discussion. I don't think he likes people. First of all, he's a very private person.
Mm-hmm.
He does not like people talking about his private life. Don't be talking about my family. Don't even go there with my family.
Seems like he doesn't like his family talking about his family.
He doesn't like leaks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that he was not happy the entire build up to him returning to Green Bay. Because there were leaks everywhere, and there were former teammates, current teammates, media people that were talking. He just hate leaks.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday he talked about how this injury is out there, and he thinks that it might be actually coaches on his own team that have friends that are in the media that they tell him things, and then the media reports it. So is it new drama, or is it just it's Aaron Rodgers, and do not read too much into, oh my gosh, there we go, it's something new. He's not coming back to Green Bay.
I think you got to know with Aaron, this is the one thing he does in season. Other than that, he doesn't talk. Let's just get through this 1 hour of radio. Hopefully nothing major blows up, and we can focus on Sundays.
I would like to just follow him around, like inside of the facility. Like, nobody says that he's a bad teammate.
Yeah,
like
correct.
I think he's a really, really good teammate. And there's really, you've never heard coaches say, that's a bad guy. I mean, yeah. Even Mike McCarthy never really said anything bad about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers indirectly said a lot of bad things about Mike McCarthy.
Yes, even as the bus is driving on top of Mike McCarthy, he's like, Aaron's a good guy. Aaron's good.
But wouldn't you like to sit like next to Aaron Rodgers' locker stall when he's sitting around talking to the guys and just what they talk about? I bet they don't talk about football.
He's shown a number of interests that are outside of football. Like, he was super into Game of Thrones, and you couldn't talk about the show in the locker room on Monday because he hadn't watched it yet. But super into it, super into all these different things outside of football. I've always thought he's just a guy that's really good at football but doesn't like football.
I mean, I once did a show where we would bring people on. Let's say you are a banker. Now, there are not a lot of bankers that are like great for radio, but we did this at KLIN. And you wouldn't talk to them about their profession. You would talk to them about maybe some current events, but interests in their life. I wish we had more time in this market with our people that we cover that we could talk to people about stuff that has nothing to do with their business. Like Scott Frost. We don't talk about football. We talk about other things. We talk about hunting.
I'd love to know
golf.
Anything else about him.
Yeah. Like Adrian Martinez is the perfect example. When was the last time that you heard an interview around here with Adrian Martinez that was not centered around football? There have been really good pieces, like Mitch Sherman immediately comes to mind with The Athletic. He wrote about his background in Fresno. But wouldn't you like to just talk to a football person and it's not about football? Because we do learn a little bit more about Aaron Rodgers, and that hit me yesterday. I know it's kind of tied into football. The guy hates leaks.
Hates them.
Hates leaks.
But they seem to be all around him.
Yes, they do. I would not read much into it. This means he's leaving Green Bay. Just give me a Super Bowl champion. I just want to be right. I've had a terrible fantasy year. I've had other things go wrong. I mean, I want coffee in the morning, and my Keurig doesn't work anymore, and I think it works, but I can't figure it out, and it's like making noises, and I'm like angry. And then also to top it all off, I cover a basketball team that's lost 6 in a row. I lost one of my AirPods. I don't know where it went. I just...
need a win.
I need the Packers to win the Super Bowl.
That's a big ask.
Or at least the Chiefs.
Or the Chiefs,
Super Bowl. Yes. But what you've learned through this segment is Aaron Rodgers does not like leagues. If you get a chance, it's not all football. It is kind of, it's a little insight into how quirky. Wouldn't you love to hear Aaron Rodgers and Jim Harbaugh do a podcast together? I don't know if there's anybody, and it even came out more this weekend, that Jim Harbaugh is an odd duck. Just a very in front of a camera in public, just is uncomfortable. Like his reaction with Juwan Howard on the field, it was a cool video. I mean, that was a great moment. All people in Michigan.
Great that the basketball coach comes out to support the football team.
But I don't know that Harbaugh knew what to say.
Yeah.
Everything is like in one or two word bits.
Hey, you're tall.
And then his post game. Well, that's the biggest victory he's gotten in Michigan. It was just a weird post game. And then even his line about Ryan Day, it was it was even awkward how he said it. But I knew what he wanted to say. But wouldn't you like to hear Jim Harbaugh and Aaron Rodgers sit down and have a podcast? Like, Jim took some hits during his career. Him and his brother are completely different when it comes to dealing with the media on how they react to questions. John Harbaugh is fascinating. John Harbaugh is really, really good dealing with the media. His brother is awkward.
I'd love Pat McAfee to facilitate this.
Well, and
Aaron! I'm wearing a tank top! The Bears! You own them!
And drinking iced coffee or tea. He's got a brand. Very popular. I
love Pat McAfee.
I enjoy the show.
He's carved out a niche for himself.
We've carved out a niche. Every Wednesday at noon, we do the mailbag brought to you by Oscar's Pizza and Grill. Your chance to win a gift card, a really good gift card. That'd be a good place to go this holiday season. That'd be one less thing you have to worry about preparing. I'm going to keep the mailbox is still open for the next 5 minutes. A couple more questions can come in to jodson@nrgmedia.com. Robin Washington will join us from Raleigh, North Carolina, where Nebraska takes on North Carolina State tonight. First road game for Nebraska. Get ready. We're about to find out, actually about blue Nebraska and red Nebraska. We're about to find out a lot about where they currently are because Creighton is to embark on a much difficult stretch that'll start on Saturday with Iowa State. And now Nebraska goes on a run where they play North Carolina State, Indiana, Michigan, Auburn, and Kansas State. It begins tonight in Raleigh. Robin is there. He'll join us at 1, and Parker Gabriel stops by at 1:30 after a morning from the Big Ten that has Austin Allen, first team, Cam Jurgens, third team.
Austin Allen has also just been named the Big Ten tight end of the year.
Perfect. What do you get?
The
Who is it? Is it named after?
Qualick Clark? I'm sorry. I'm butchering that name. I'm sure everyone listening knows who this person is. I don't. Qualick-Clark.
Couldn't they maybe update it? I mean, if you would have told me it's named after Dallas Clark, I would have been, okay, that makes sense. Great tight end from Iowa, NFL. Well, that is a great award for Austin Allen, and it is well-deserved. And like I've been talking to Eric and other people on Twitter, it's the position at Nebraska that for a decade plus we've all gone, what could have been? We want more. What could have been? I mean, Austin Allen is the closest to fulfilling the man, why doesn't Nebraska involve the tight ends more? Why did Kyler Reed and Seathan Carter get ignored? But all Big Ten and tight end of the year. Great honor for Austin Allen, who will then be off to the NFL. If you missed it, Scott Chandler gave his idea or his thoughts on what Austin will be like in the NFL. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show. The mailbag is next on 1620 The Zone. Hey, what is next is your opportunity to put yourself in a brand new or pre-owned vehicle from Woodhouse Place Nissan, 144th and Giles, or in Bellevue at Woodhouse Nissan. They can take care of all your Nissan needs. Perfect car, truck, or SUV is ready for you. Again, new or pre-owned, and they have quite the selection. They have quite the variety. If you go to one place and they don't have it there, but they have it at the other, they're going to take care of you. They're going to get you the deal. Top-notch customer service, fair prices. You can experience the difference, shop with confidence. And you can check it out in-store or online at WoodhousePlaceNissan.com or WoodhouseNissan.com. Now, here's what they do. You show up and you say, you know what? I don't really want a big truck. Like an Armada is too big for me. But man, I would like an SUV. They'll say, how much time you got? How about we test drive? And so you're in a Rogue and you're like, oh, I like the Rogue, especially redesigned for 2021. And the 2022s, I'm told, are even better. The one thing they do with Woodhouse Place Nissan and Woodhouse Nissan of Bellevue is they give you options. They are right there for you. They're considerate of your time, and they'll give you a quick, efficient, and pleasant purchasing experience. So either schedule a test drive today or, you know what, find your next vehicle. 144th and Giles, Woodhouse Place Nissan or Woodhouse Nissan of Bellevue or online at WoodhousePlaceNissan.com or WoodhouseNissan.com.